Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm Fred Monroe. I'm glad to be with you today. As you probably know, our goal on Central Coast Voices is to bring you credible and valid information and insights from diverse members of our community. We want to address how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community or how they're affecting today's community. We want to also look at the long-term ramifications of changes in our society, or in some cases, lack of change in our society. This is a conversation you can participate in. The phone number is 805-781-3875. That's 781-3875. I guess we have to always start saying 805 in front of it now, because it doesn't matter where you're calling from anymore. You've got to put the area code out there. We're going to talk today with some folks from ECHO. ECHO is the El Camino homeless organization up in Atascadero, and they are a fascinating program and the way they work with the homeless. The faces of homeless, you know, it's not the same picture that we've seen of people a decade ago. They can be your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, coworkers who may be facing challenges. The homeless effects on the community happen in many ways, and the solutions on how we empower the homeless in the community can change for each individual and how it's affected. We're going to talk today with Wendy Lewis. She's the president and the CEO of ECHO. That's the El Camino Homeless Organization. And Becky Gray, who is a board member with ECHO. We really want to talk about how the unmet needs of the homeless population affect the Central Coast and how we can work more effectively to meet the needs of the homeless population. And we will talk about the fact that there's different organizations looking at homeless issues in different ways and how different organizations are involved in that process. Again, the phone number is 805-781-3875. We would invite you to be part of the discussion today. Wendy, why don't we start with the what's the ECHO organization and the origin of it, and we can build from there. For a lot of us, we know that, but for a lot of folks, that's a new name in their vocabulary.
So ECHO is a homeless organization that was started by a wonderful group of grassroots folks who were in Atascadero and saw that people needed a place to stay. And that wonderful group for several years took cots from church to church and in the back of their trucks and provided shelter to people who needed it. As ECHO has grown its capacity, and we actually have a physical shelter that was acquired many years ago, it was a church building, and the church actually still operated downstairs, and the shelter was upstairs and served about 30 people at that time. And in 2014, ECHO was able to buy the entire building, and now we are an incredible 50-bed shelter that provides a safe place for 50 men, women, and children each night. And our mission is to empower people in Slo County by providing food, shelter, and supportive services. So went from a wonderful handful of people to an organization that is growing and continues to grow.
The default mode, for lack of a better word, of looking at homeless shelters is the homeless are going to remain homeless. We can't find enough solutions for them. We just need to find a way that they're not sleeping in squalor under a bridge someplace or out on the street, and that it's just an ongoing process. And from your conversations I've had with you and my knowledge of ECHO, ECHO looks at it as a more proactive environment than that.
It is. It is a program-based shelter, so it's very unique, where if you come to us and you're really ready to do a lot of hard work to make change, working with our case management team, ECHO becomes your home for at least 90 days. So it's not a shelter where you might have a bed that evening or you might not, depending on priority. It truly becomes a place where you can do all the things you need to do, whether it's find employment, find transportation, help with financial literacy, healthcare, daycare. We connect you to all those pieces to help you be successful and find a home of your own.
How long does the average person continue getting services as a resident, if you will, of ECHO?
So it's a 90-day program, and our people who are doing all of the steps needed, but housing is that key factor, they're able to have a three one-month extension. So the max is kind of 6 months. We find for individuals, the 90 days really is doable. The families have a little bit harder of a challenge, and they tend to get those extensions. You know, we have average of 15 children each night. So can you imagine being a parent trying to find, you know, get your child to school, find the things you need. So that's where the case management comes in and why ECHO is that resource for that community.
Mm-hmm. Becky, you're a board member, but you come to this from another organization and another connection. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I am the executive director of MUST Charities. And MUST Charities is a public gifting organization. We come alongside nonprofits who are servicing some of the greatest needs in our community.
Over the past few years, we saw the homeless issue continue to grow, and we started looking at, okay, what are the stats here? What's the data? What do we need to do? We are North County for North County as far as funding goes, and ECHO is the only shelter in the North County, but not only is it stand out demographically as being the only organization in that area, it's also the only organization that handles things differently. And what we found with them is they're not a handout, they're more of a hand up. And that's exactly the way MUST Charities operates with nonprofits. We are more of a hand up instead of a handout as well. We're not just giving out cash, we're more come alongside, let's bring in resources, what do you need, what are your strengths, where's your goals, that kind of thing. We get heavily involved, hence why I sit on this board right now as well. And that started, our partnership started in 2017, so we're pretty new coming out of the gate in this partnership, but man, have we seen a lot of success over the last, you know, year and a half since we've been involved, which is pretty incredible.
It's not a secret. I live in Atascadero, so my reference point is Atascadero for a couple of things. So, Wendy, I kind of want to put you on the spot. If the best example I can come up with in my mind is if I turn into the parking lot of the Rite Aid / Vons Shopping Center at Morrow Road on the average day, I see homeless people, for lack of a better word, panhandling by the entrance. My initial gut reaction is those are people that in all likelihood, based upon the nature of who they are and their presentation as individuals, that are probably not the ideal candidate for a shelter environment that is attempting to find a way for them to be out of being homeless. Quite candidly, it seems to me that some of those people will be homeless in some cases by choice for a very long time. I'm wondering how you balance out that homeless community from people that you feel are good candidates for some long-term services that will get them into their own home environment.
You know, Fred, that's a great observation, and that's something we're actually trying to get the message out to the community that ECHO, we do provide warm meals in the evening for anybody who needs, and it could be someone who that's the first touch to help them see that someone cares, and maybe that moves them along. But there are a population that just aren't ready for our services or aren't really willing. The people we serve, if you walked through or in the evening, it's families, it's the person who had a medical crisis, it's the person who just got schemed in a rental scheme and now their family has no place to go. We become the safety net for them. It really, people are amazed that it's not that picture of that person you see on the corner. It is your, you know, an elderly person who needs to be with us till they find a place of their own. It's a family who has two little ones who lost their job and they just need a place as a safe place to be. So there really is a difference, and thanks for pointing that out, because we want people to know that, you know, our hearts believe everybody needs help, but what we're concentrating are kind of the third of the people facing homelessness that are really ready to make a change and be successful on their journey. So far this year, in the first 7 months, we've had 67 success stories of individuals and families go through our program and find a home of their own. And that's the best part of what we do, is you get to see this person who you met, you know, 90 days ago, and you even thought, oh gosh, you know, case managers are saying we can do this, they can do this, and you have those little bit of doubts, but you see transformation, you see hard work, you see people who are treated with compassion and care, and it works, and we are very proud of that.
So the individual, and I don't want to discount what you're saying at all, but so the individual that we see that is hanging out at McDonald's, hanging out at the Circle K, in the driveway at the Rite Aid parking lot. In a lot of cases, those are people that when you evaluate them for services, you may be deciding there's nothing we can do for this person other than possibly house them temporarily or feed them tonight.
It's more of feed them tonight, show them that somebody cares, have conversations with them about resources. Our case managers work with anybody in conversation to evaluate whether they're a fit for our program. So if someone comes to us and they're not quite ready, we're a drug and alcohol-free shelter. So if somebody isn't ready for that change, we have conversations with them, we get them resources. And I have seen that work where somebody needed that help, went somewhere else to get that help, and then we become the shelter they stay at while they find those other pieces. There's a lot of mental health that we see in our community, and there's not enough resources. A lot of people are working to make change there, but if someone's in a position facing some mental health issues that we really can't make sure that we're providing a safe shelter for everybody, we can connect them to resources, but we can't make that necessarily change for them.
That's one of the things I love about Echo, is it's kind of like a triage center. So really, people are coming in, and Echo isn't the answer for everybody, but they're not discounting that person and saying, well, sorry, we can't help you. They're looking at them, having conversations and saying, hey, this is a direction that you can go. This is where you can get help. So the opportunity is there for people to get help. And that's one of my favorite parts about Echo, is that they just have those open arms. They might not shelter everybody because it's not a good fit, but they aren't just kicking people to the curb.
Yeah. So your fee, in your evening mealtime program, you're feeding more people than you're housing.
We are. We serve a meal to anybody who comes to us who's hungry. And the beauty of that piece is not only are we serving somebody a meal that needs it, the meals are provided by meal providers from the community. So these incredible groups have been doing this for years and years. They come together. It can be a church. It can be a business. We have a couple individuals that bring a meal for 80 people just because they care about the community. And I say this as I give tours, they get so much out of it, just as much as they're giving, they get in return. You see people who are thankful for the meal. You see people who are grateful for the community reaching out to them. I hear it from them all the time. They were told thank you 50 times in the evening. We also offer a shower program. That's where I see tremendous transformation as well. So on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, anybody who needs a shower and a change of clothing can come to us. And a lot of those folks aren't ready for our shelter and our program, but because they have a place to get a shower, you can physically see in them a different energy when they leave. They come in with different body language, with different spirit about them. And so we consider that also those open arms Becky was talking mm-hmm. about, where, you know, that happens enough, conversations happen, and maybe they will choose a different path. Some might not, but at least we're there for that piece of it.
You spoke about the fact that you work with family units often. I think one of the things that that comes to mind, and from my experience and knowledge of Echo, and also the school process, because I'm married to a school teacher in Paso Robles, who's talked before about the fact that there are children that are whose parents were staying with their parents at Echo that are actually going to school in Paso Robles. And the reason for that is very understandable, and that is if you happen to be if you're a 12-year-old boy and you're homeless and you and your folks are staying at Echo and Atascadero, my hunch is the last place you want to be seen is at a school in Atascadero where someone may know you're homeless. So some of these kids end up with inter-district situations, which is very important, but I think really addresses more of how you can work with kids to keep their dignity up, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Yeah, we serve, on average, I mentioned about 15 kids a night. I've seen upwards of 20. And so the parents and the case management team, we work with the school districts. We really put our arms around those children as well, trying to provide as many new resources, increasing our capacity. So just yesterday, we had a meeting with SLO County Office of Education, the Raising the Reader program. We're bringing that in. So now we'll have wonderful trained community volunteers to come in to read to the kids and also teach the parents that modeling of reading with the kids. We've started art appreciation. We're bringing nutrition education in for both the adults and the kids. So it's really trying to provide as much resources to them as possible. Also switching the vision of homeless services a little bit or the process where we've created an empowerment model. So if a parent has an opportunity to share what that child needs or how we can help, they have the ability to voice that to us, and we can help connect them or be part of a network that helps lift those kids up as well as the parents.
Let me remind folks that we're talking with some people today from ECHO, that's the El Camino Homeless Organization in Atascadero, about how they proactively work with homeless to not only provide them with shelter, but also to give them the resources so they don't need those services for any longer than necessary. And you can be part of this discussion if you'd like. The phone number is 805-781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. And frankly, if you're listening and you have been involved either as a volunteer or as a client of ECHO, it would be nice to hear from you. We won't put you on the spot with a lot of personal information if you don't want to share that. But be part of the discussion if you're so inclined. Is there a profile of, from what you're saying, a lot of the homeless people you're dealing with, I don't want to sound flip about this, but we're probably not homeless a year ago.
Yeah.
So when people first come to you, what are the big differences that you're seeing that got them to being homeless right here and now?
It's just a crisis of some sort. Like I mentioned, it can be a medical issue or a death in the family or a loss of employment that they weren't expecting. The stories just vary so dramatically. It could be an 18-year-old that the parents no longer want them at their home for reasons that I just shake my head because I have young adults myself, and I can't imagine ever telling my child, I won't provide shelter for you. These are kids that have kind of lost their way because they don't have any safety net or anybody. We've seen a big uptick from like 18 to 24-year-olds, and you just can't imagine that, they don't have a place to go. Thankfully, ECHO's there for them. I mentioned it can be somebody who maybe was homeless for several years and got back on their feet, and another life unexpected popped up and they're back with us. But they aren't there for long. That's the key. They get the resources. It's a safety net. It's a hand up, and they're back into a place of their own.
So what type of resources do your case managers put together for your average client?
So then they meet with the case managers. When someone comes to us first and they're determined they fit the program, they do have some days just to catch their breath, get some sleep, people don't realize how sleep deprived homeless folks are, because, you know, they're, how can you imagine sleeping on the street or in your car and trying to still get a good night? So we let them catch their breath, get some sleep, get fed, and then they work with case managers to come up with a case management plan. It can vary depending on where they're at with stages of their life. So that 18-year-old I mentioned, it might be they need help getting their diploma as a piece of getting employment. So we connect them with that resource. It might be that they've never had someone teach them how to open a bank account or save money. So that financial literacy piece is a huge piece of what we do. It might be someone who doesn't have the ability or hasn't been shown how you make a resume, how you go to a job interview, how I should dress, how I should be. So it just depends on what that person's needs, and our case managers have the tools, they have the resources. We work with tons of other nonprofits and for-profit businesses in the community to make all that work happen.
And I love to just want to pipe in, because if you've ever seen the case manager at work, especially when they're just first meeting someone, even during the dinner hour, and they will sit down just as if they're an old friend and just say, "So tell me your story." And they just listen. And it's just, there's a lot of times, and I feel probably the majority of homeless people suffering from homelessness don't have anyone to just listen to them. So it's a great gateway into, okay, tell me about what's going on, and then figuring out from there what the steps are going to be.
Most of the folks you see are local.
They really are. There's that question comes up a lot, mm-hmm. is, you know, are people moving to Slo County because we have the best homeless shelters? And it's I've even had someone who said, you know, "Oh, I heard a story. Someone came to you guys because you have carpet on your floors." And I go, you know, if I'm choosing to where I go, you know, it's not that. It's, we do have people who end up in our area for whatever reason. You know, they thought there was employment here, they thought they were coming, but the bulk of who we serve are people who, you know, had a home here, had a job, and then something tragic happened and they find themselves at our doors. It really is an echo to let people know also is we're physically located in Atascadero, but we serve anybody who needs us. If they fit what our program is, we have a bed, we're going to serve them. We're not going to turn somebody away.
Yeah, I believe there's a program in Santa Maria that you kind of sister with on a number of things too.
Yeah, we'd work with, we really partner with all of the homeless services in our area and kind of our region. That's Good Samaritan down in Santa Maria. They have some wonderful programs. One of the partnerships we have with them is our county is lacking drug and alcohol beds. So if somebody needs a bed to detox, we really are limited where we work with in Slo County. There's some things in the works for that, but right now we would partner with them, and then when that person's ready, then they might have a bed back at Echo. We work with Five Cities Homeless Coalition. We work with Cap Slo. We're part of the Homeless Service Oversight Council, which is a council that kind of looks at Slo County as a whole. So we really network with everybody because we want to do things right, and we want to listen to what others are doing and put that into what we do, or maybe educate them on see things that we've changed that they could possibly do.
There's this window of time when you by ordinance or by use permit can't serve people. Which is what time in the morning till what time in the afternoon?
So I've been at Echo 7 months, and I can tell you that has been one of the hardest parts as a human and as a mother to navigate. And right now, somebody can come to our facility at 4:30 in the afternoon, but we have to figuratively and literally push everybody out by 7 in the morning. So our hours of operation are 4:30 p.m. to 7 a.m. And Echo is working hard to change that. We're working with the city. We're working with our neighbors. We're working with the business community to look at it from all perspectives. If we can provide more resources during the day and not send 15 kids out into the heat or cold at 7 in the morning, they get more sleep. They get a breakfast. They're better ready to learn. Isn't that better for everybody? If we're able to provide resources to those parents during the day as they're looking for jobs, that's 50 less people that are navigating the corridors of Atascadero. Better for businesses, because that perception is there's not as many. And then others or us can help with those ones that are the transient that we talked about to move that needle along as well. So that's going to be a big undertaking, but we're ready, and we have a lot of positive feedback from the community that is open to that change.
Yeah. Within the city of San Luis Obispo, it's probably no secret for most folks that there's the Prado Day Center on Prado Road. There is a new center being built on Prado Road that will be a shelter and a day center. The politics of building that facility were fascinating. We've had people from that facility's board on the program before and talked about it, the frustration that some of them went through with that. But at the moment, there is no day facility in Atascadero.
There's in northern San Luis Obispo County, there's no day facility, and there's currently not a place for cooling as well. So when the past 3 weeks up in North County, it was 105 every single day. Mm-hmm. And we would have to send a mom with a three-week-old out to try to find cooling. And so from a nonprofit or a community perspective, that is just not right. If we have this building, we have an amazing staff to navigate that. We could provide it at Echo and eventually 24/7. We'll have to phase it in, but we could provide help to those. So I'm very hopeful, and I've had so many conversations. That's been part of one of my biggest roles there, is to go speak to somebody who might be in favor of what we do or might be thinking of us differently, and to educate and try to hopefully move perspective.
I think it's good to note too that the bulk of your residents at Echo aren't really going out on the street. The bulk of the residents that are staying in Echo are already paired with jobs or in the process of being paired with jobs. So it's a very small number that would be there during the day in the shelter, but it also addresses the whole healing from within. So if someone's in a healthy environment and then during the day hours they're kicked out and exposed to an environment that's not so healthy or around a group of people that's not so healthy, and then all of a sudden come back in at night and magically be healthy again, that's a struggle. Whereas if we could keep them in there, training them, job training, job skills, or whatever their needs are that need to be met, even ownership of the shelter and helping, like teaching skills of how to take care of a home and how to live in a positive functioning environment, that's a win for our community, because that's a win for success for those people when they do eventually graduate from the program.
My knowledge of Atascadero from a political standpoint is it's a rather conservative community.
Yes.
I would say for as conservative as community that Atascadero is, they have actually been, in my observations, very proactive with what Echo is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And to my knowledge also, your neighbors, which involves a high school, involves rental property and some single family homes, and also involves a private religious school. Those neighbors have been supportive of the expanding of your hours?
They really have. It's amazing. We've had a lot of conversations. We've met with ABC Church, is a great supporter of Echo, and they're right on our street. We've met with the neighbors. We've met with the high school. We've met with district folks, and really it does help everybody. You know, we get calls from people where there's homeless people out in the corner of Atascadero Avenue as students are going and coming and going to school, and what can we do about that? Well, we believe anybody has a right to be anywhere somebody else can, but if we're able to provide shelter during the day, resource-based, not just the day right. center where you're there, it's resource-based, those people are inside and not that perception of there's a scary person out in that corridor. So the schools are very supportive, and you know, having conversations with them in the years that Echo's been there, there hasn't ever been one incident of something from a homeless person in that corridor to a child. And so it's really that perception, but it would help that as well.
Good point. We do have a call. Let me go ahead and see. Let's see. We have Bill from Arroyo Grande. Bill, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. It sounds like there's a program of segregating the homeless, and I propose that we try to integrate them into the society rather than put them all in one place. And one of the things that I just noticed in today's paper, that they were talking about tiny homes, but they didn't mention anything about people living in motorhomes or travel trailers on private property. And I think that would be one way to integrate people together, you know, the people that have property and need help on their property, and people who need a job and a place to live.
Bill, do you have any suggestions on how ECHO could get involved in something like that, or how do you see the connection between what ECHO is currently doing and addressing that concern?
Well, I have no idea, except that the Board of Supervisors is looking for solutions to solving the housing problem, and that would be one solution. And nowhere did I see in this article anything about motorhomes or travel trailers, and they did suggest secondary units on property. But I know from experience, I built a secondary unit on my property. It's less than 600 square feet, and it cost me well over $100,000 to build it. And, you know, if you're going to do something like that, you can hardly afford to rent it to low-income people.
A good point. Yeah, Bill, and you always bring a good perspective to the program, and you've called in before. I guess in defense of ECHO, I'd want to suggest that those programs are needed, but this reasonably small organization in Atascadero is doing the best to solve what they can. I don't think we expect any organization to solve everything.
Yeah. No, it's just an idea of, you know, trying to integrate poor people, you know, with the well-to-do. And it wouldn't hurt for well-to-do people to get to know some of these folks.
Yeah, agreed. I don't think anybody can disagree with you. Thanks for the call, Bill.
One way anybody can get to know ECHO a little bit more is we have a small and mighty team of 7, but we run a 50-bed shelter, and how that's accomplished is our incredible volunteers. And so we would highly recommend anybody reach out to us. They can go on echoshelter.org to find out information on volunteering, about our shelter, and or a tour. If you want to come see what we do and hear more, that's a good way for everybody, including the well-to-do, to kind of learn a little bit more about what we do.
Mm-hmm. What are some specific roles that volunteers play for you? Because I my hunch is, and this happens a lot with any organization and any individual looking at an organization, gee, I don't know what I can do, so I don't just walk in the door and say, "Hi, I'm Fred. What can I do?" So people need to know what's expected.
Yeah, it's interesting to think, what would that look like? How does it feel? You know, apprehension on, you know, one of our opportunities is an overnight shelter chaperone. Can you imagine going from "I've never been there" to "I'm going to stay overnight"? And so we really work with our volunteer coordinator and really educating potential volunteers and matching up what the volunteer is seeking to get out of the experience. So we have overnight chaperones. We have campus monitors that help navigate our busy time between 4 and 6. We have people now, they can, you know, come read to children as an opportunity, or help with art appreciation. They can help in the kitchen, serve. There's so many opportunities. Becky has definitely seen it from the volunteer side,
yeah,
as well.
Definitely. And I think it's great because you guys do a really good job at ECHO of putting the needs out there. So through social media or through emails, you could sign up to be on their email newsletter. But if there is a need, like, you know, you just went through a time period where you needed towels. And for some people, they might not have the time and hours, or they don't just want to write a check, but they want to do something tangible. So they'll go and buy new towels and bring them to ECHO and donate. And that's their connection. So it does look different. We've seen laundry angels and even little kids that come in, they want to get involved with the homeless. Their hearts, you know, are going out to them. And we've had one little boy individual with his mom, and they pick up laundry and bring it back to the shelter clean once a week. And
yeah,
there's lots of opportunities to volunteer with your children as well. And that's a huge question out there in our community.
Yeah, that's one thing with the need and the match. So we have those standard volunteer positions, but we have big projects that sometimes we don't have the budget for. And we'll find someone, like right now we have Patrick, who was a retired IT specialist, who has spent as many hours as almost an employee upgrading our systems. And we had a donation of 6 wonderful computers that didn't have hard drives. He helped us get brand new workstations we wouldn't have been able to without him. We had a visit recently of an incredible girl. Her name's Tara. And she, 2 years ago, for a project for Girl Scouts, built 9 beautiful garden beds. And recently we've been able to plant those. And you see, as you pull into Echo, this beautiful garden that this incredible girl had the idea about, and now our residents are able to plant and harvest fresh produce. That was a volunteer opportunity that someone had an idea about. So reach out to us. We'll figure out if you want to help, we'll figure out a way for you to be able to help.
I would like to focus on what your case managers do, because as we're talking, I got this light bulb in the back of my head, which basically said, you know, where in the world do you start with someone who's homeless? You feed them, make sure they have some clean clothes, so their feeling of dignity is a little better than it was when they walked in the door. But it takes a tremendous amount of effort and resources to find them what they need, to find housing, to find a job. So what is the case management process like?
Well, you know, the biggest piece of that is that somebody cares. We have case managers with the biggest hearts, but can be firm if needed. And we have, right now, we have 2 case managers, and they're really the key to our success. When Echo didn't have case managers in the past, we have heard from people who said it was a safe place, but the resources really weren't there. Now, as somebody is successfully, as they leave, we ask them, you know, what made a difference? What was the key? And they say almost every single time, my case manager was there with me every step of the way. They treated me like a human. They treated me with dignity. They were that support person that I didn't have. So it really is, they're this ball of resources, but it's really that I care about you and I want you to be successful. You need to do the work, but I'm here to support you the entire way.
And cheer you along. I mean, yes. Watching them cheer their clients along is pretty cool too, to see that.
Yeah. In this, your window of time you're working with is about 90 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 90 for an individual's average.
I'm wondering how someone who couldn't pay rent today gets in a position where they have a job to help them build resources and the ability to find a place other than your shelter to stay in 90 or 120 days from now.
It really is that those conversations that happen and that financial literacy piece from someone who is spending their money in places that not as productive as they can, that we're going to require you to save X amount because we know in 90 days you're going to need that for your first and last and all those pieces. It's really making sure there's benchmarks and those benchmarks are met. You know, that is the hardest part of what we would do is when we see someone and they aren't meeting those benchmarks, we do sometimes have to ask people to exit the program because that's really not our parameters. So people really are encouraged by the case managers to have those conversations. If someone hasn't ever been employed, it's let's see what skill sets you have. Let's teach you how to have a resume, how to interview. If somebody's been employed, they may just need to be connected with an employer. We work with a handful of employers that say, if you have an able-bodied, get them to us and we'll put them to work. Mm-hmm. We're building that network as well. We recently had some great conversations with Twin Cities and now they're 2 of their departments. If we have someone, we kind of pre-screen them, we get them to them and they'll almost hire them immediately.
And I think it's important to the community that comes alongside. So not only with the employment side of things, but the housing too. We've seen individuals gain employment while staying at Echo, and then their employer is so impressed with them that they end up having a connection to housing, and they want to make sure that they're helping their employee get into housing. So it truly is wrapping their arms around these individuals and helping them.
What's the longest you've had to have someone stay in the in the shelter?
Well, the max is 6 months, and so it's the hardest thing is if you have someone who's doing everything right, it's within that 6 months, what do we do? And we've recently faced that, and we connected them somewhere else, and it was hard because they were doing everything right. But if we don't stick with our program, it's not giving hard parameters in order for someone to say, okay, I have 6 months. You know, so we make sure they're aware every step of the way. And so that's probably one of the toughest part about what we do.
You may be dealing with people, my hunch is you're dealing with people in a lot of cases who have never had to or haven't recently had to face hard parameters. That's a more black and white life than a lot of these people have.
You have a great story about the one individual, the man who had been in other shelters.
And yeah.
The light bulb went on when he finally was at Echo.
Yeah, we have, in the past 6 months, we've started to have resident meetings where we are really clear about what those parameters are, but it's more about empowering and giving them a voice. And one of the first ones, we were explaining the program and explaining with clarity that the max is 6 months. And the case managers and myself after the meeting said, did you see the light bulb that went on in this one individual? He was a father of a 10-year-old who had been in and out of homelessness for years. And he came up to us after and said, you're really going to kick us out if I don't do these things. And we said, no, we're not going to kick you out. By not doing those things, you've made the choice to not be here. And it was what he needed. He was walking the streets of Atascadero within a day, going to every employer, found one that said, I have a job. It's hard work. You're out in the heat and you're doing this. And he said, oh, I need a job. He got this job, and the employer was so impressed with him, he was able to help him finance a small car, got him transportation, connected him to a small rental unit. And he came back after him and his daughter moved out and spoke to the newer residents and said, okay, this is what you have to do. This is what I did, learn from my life lessons of 10 years ago. I wasn't doing that, and I was homeless because of it.
How old was this individual?
He was in his, I would say, early 50s with a 10-year-old daughter navigating shelters a lot of that time frame. And he said case management made the difference in his path.
How are those individuals? I'm assuming there's a spot for those individuals to give back to your community.
That's one of the best parts is those success stories, they often are a volunteer the next week or somebody who says, I'll come talk to people about maybe some mental health things that I've faced and what by getting the help I needed, how it changed my life. And they help move that needle for others. The part that about the people we serve also, and I think Becky kind of mentioned it earlier about they're not someone who is on the street or not willing to pitch in. If we have a need at Echo, we now say, hey, you guys, we need this to happen. They make it happen. We don't have a chore list. That's one of the biggest things that shock people. We used to have this chore list, and the volunteers and the chaperones said it was this weird like navigation and fight to make it happen. We say, hey, guys, this needs to happen. Make it happen. And it happens now. And it's just this ownership of this is your home. We need to work together as a big family to make Echo be the best place while you're here and to get you into your own place of your own.
That feeling of empowerment, you know, so many of these individuals have been on the streets or happen to be down on their luck or what have you, or have had a crisis. And the last thing they want is for just to stand in a line, get checked in, have a meal, and sit there. They want to feel like they're doing something productive for their lives or for others, because it truly is that giving is better than getting. You get the bigger gift when you give. And these clients in Echo are starting to see that, the shift, the positive shift that's happened in Echo just since I've been there. Over the last year and a half has been amazing, because it's now this family environment where they feel ownership and they feel proud of their accomplishments and what they're doing. And then that then feeds their soul, which then empowers them to be more successful in so many other areas of their lives.
Yeah, we recently had a family of six who successfully found housing. Wow. And the father, he came to me and he had tears in his eyes to say thank you. And I said, no, you did the work. You did the hard work to make this happen. And in his interview, he said, I was so embarrassed to bring my family to a shelter, but Echo was a home.
Mm-hmm. It's good to hear.
We have a lot of those feel-good stories where we can sit around crying and sharing good stories and high-fiving.
So without making it too political, what are you doing with the city to expand your hours? What do you need to do, and what kind of timeline are you on for that?
So we're having lots of really productive conversations. That's the piece with this work, is if you make sure that you've, one, have your operation plans and what to accomplish the things are needed, and just have conversations with the city. They have been very open to hearing our thoughts and hearing other members of the community. And so it's looking like we potentially in October will be going to the city council public forum and saying, these are the changes we'd like to happen. These are the reasons why it makes sense for everybody. And hopefully opening up the first phase of that conditional use permit to start phasing in to become 24/7 resource-based to help people even be more productive than we're able to now.
Because what I hear is you don't have You have a few vocal people who are the proverbial not in my backyard folks who will always feel that way about pretty much everything that doesn't fit exactly what they want. But as I said earlier, for as conservative a community as Atascadero is, you have a remarkably proactive community that's supporting what you're doing.
It's been amazing for me to see some of the most conservative people that I knew not in this role in the kitchen providing meals, serving somebody. And so there is a huge network of support from all sides of the political spectrum, all sides of the community. And it really is just a few that really need those conversations. And some of our most vocal folks have been very open to conversation. We've had some really productive meetings, and I think there's definitely an openness that some of them have shared, at least for some of the change, especially that morning time frame. When you talk to someone who's a parent and you say, can you imagine having to get your child up at 5 a.m. to try to either get a shower or breakfast and then send him out into 20-degree weather? You know, Echo is here and could provide that comfort. It's a light bulb for them as well.
Yeah. You were talking about the folks that you offer just the ability to do some shower or maybe some laundry to get cleaned up. What hour of the day do they get to do that if people have to be out by 7 o'clock in the morning?
So in the afternoons during our open time frame, that's we are able to provide those services. So it's appointment based now. So we can have someone have an appointment for a shower. We have someone who can have an appointment for laundry. But it's it's one at a time. We could do a lot more with the space we have, the location we're in. It can provide a lot more if we're able to be open more. I'm feeling very positive. We've had so many good conversations and been really upfront and transparent about the changes we want to make. And I think that's been a step that is very positive, that, you know, we're not trying to sneak this in and, you know, not tell the community. We're really saying, hey, we've done our research, we've done our work, this is good for everybody.
And I think Wendy's very humble in the fact that she's an amazing leader. So her skill set that she brings to Echo has been basically taking the charge of moving forward in this positive direction. And my hat's off to her, because I've been watching it unfold over the last just 7 months. It seems like 7 years, but it's been amazing.
You've sat at this table before with your previous involvement with another nonprofit, and you're a proactive individual, and that's wonderful to see.
Yeah, that's been one of my favorite parts of being new at Echo or being there is I love making spending my time, if I'm going to be doing something, to make a positive change in our community. And that this has given me a great opportunity to say, oh my gosh, if we work hard at this, can you imagine what it's going to do to make a difference in these people's lives?
Mm-hmm. They we forget about this because it's still August, and it's not as hot as it was a couple of months ago or a couple weeks ago in Atascadero, but it's still the hottest time of year. But I think we forget about, at this time of year, what it's like for some of the homeless people in the cold weather. So what is ECHO's involvement with like some of the warming stations and things like that that are needed in the community in the wintertime?
So we actually facilitate the North County Homeless Services Coalition, and it brings together about 20 nonprofits once a month to talk about not just our own individual organizations, but what we can do as a group. And there's a subcommittee that's working on both cooling and warming. ECHO wouldn't really be the best location to provide that to the entire community. Our capacity is wouldn't be able to stretch that far. And so we want to support others who are looking to do that work. And
yeah, so I was thinking from a standpoint of also of the people who come to have dinner but are not staying in the shelter, that are obviously verbalizing their need for a warm place to be tonight.
Yeah, it's a huge need. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we all live up in North County and know how hot and cold it can get. And I can't imagine having to try to stay cold in 15, 20 degree weather on some of those cold nights. So this group is working really hard to have a place for those that might not be ready for ECHO services, but need that help. And we're definitely part of that team and would love to support if the effort to provide that to those who really need it.
And as I'm thinking about things we need most, which are a warm place in cold weather and a cool place in warm weather and a meal, what do you do, especially with the kids that are hopefully in school in that very brief period of time in the morning to get breakfast going?
Well, they're able to get a breakfast with us, but really at 7, when they're out of our arms, it's what are they doing? You know, if the parent's working, you know, where are they going until school opens up? And, you know, we have such a varied age group that, you know, that's something that the community needs to help us change. I mean, we have a place they could be to go from ECHO to a safe, warm place. So as a community, I think that's going to be an important piece as we navigate that conditional use permit.
Becky, can you tell us a little bit more about what MUST's involvement is?
Yeah. So in 2017, we kicked off a $500,000 partnership with ECHO because of what they were doing and their vision. And we saw the need. We came in a time that was really a transition time. So ECHO has been around for many, many years, started off as an all-volunteer organization, now has 7 full-time staff. And yet we had a board that was still like part of the original founding board. And so we really just brought in some board development. We hired consultants from the area and out of the area as well to do board development to help us look at our organization and say, okay, where do we need to go and how do we transition from a hands-on volunteer board who is kind of working there basically to now a governing board and empowering our staff to do what we've hired them to do. So that's been exciting. We also invested in solar. We saw the need there with like a 15% return for them, for ECHO, by investing in solar. They were able to save thousands of dollars and put that in toward resources. We also built an indoor laundry facility for them. And now the shelter alone smells fresher and cleaner. I mean, they have access to do laundry on site, whereas in the past, we didn't have any laundry facilities on site. Strategic planning, we just walked through a 10-year strategic plan with them. So they've cast a vision. This board has cast a vision, and mm-hmm. Wendy has the tools and the goals for the year and 3 years out. And I'm missing anything else? Yeah. There's a lot that's gone into this, I'm sure.
Well, I'll remind you, for those who are listening to the program all the time, I usually have my traditional I'll stay out of the way for a couple of minutes. Oh. So we're already at about at my stay out of the way for a couple of minutes.
I gotta look at the time.
So Becky, I'll start with you. What do you want to make sure that people don't lose track of with ECHO and your involvement in the organization as a whole?
I think with homelessness in general, I think as a society, there's been such a stigma around homelessness. And I think we all need to just kind of step back and look at each individual has their a son or a daughter of someone. They're a sister, a brother, a mom, a dad. And And they somewhere along the line, something went awry. And if they're willing to do the work and help pull themselves out of the situation they're in, then by all means, we need to come alongside them and empower them and help them to do it. So I would also highly recommend getting involved in ECHO if you're in the community, whether it be a volunteer basis or a financial giving basis. Must came in heavy dollars, but we're weaning ourselves off too, so there's going to be some gap to fill there. So that's a great opportunity as well.
Wendy, what do you want to make sure we don't forget?
Well, definitely the listeners with a different different vision of who they might think is homeless. It's you know, we just recently did kind of a focus group with some of our residents talking about some needs. And as I looked around the room, I could have been at, you know, a church group. I could have been at a school group. It these faces didn't look like what some people might think. So I really encourage people, if they, by what we've said, they really want to help, they can visit our website, echoshelter.org. We have a huge event this Saturday. We're having an awareness march. They can come out and be part of a wonderful day and give back. Our budget is we stretch really well with our budget. You know, we get some federal support, but most of it, it's those kind people in the community that send those $50 in. So if somebody has the means, we would really love that. But if someone needs help, visit that website as well. Volunteer with us. Reach out if you have a question that we didn't answer. We really want the community to have a true picture of what ECHO Homeless Shelter does. And again, you know, we're a shelter, but we're truly a home for 50 people each night, and just great for those who help.
Okay. If someone wants to basically just get more information, if a lot of people may have resources and they don't know whether or not their resources will fit for what you are.
So they can give us a call at 805-462-3663 or visit echoshelter.org. We would love to chat with anybody who has questions or wants to help or has somebody they might need our services. That's what we're here for, and definitely encourage people to reach out.
Yeah, and I would suggest that there are a lot of people who may not even know you're in the community, and the opportunity, and that's probably a good sign, because if people are around Atascadero and don't know you exist, they may not be helping you, but that also means that you're not a conspicuous thing that people are concerned about, and I think that's a critical factor.
It's really interesting. I was so amazed at, as I started getting out in the community and meeting with the business association, which is right across the freeway from us, there were folks there who didn't know we were there. And I thought, wow, you're literally across the highway. I had a meeting in SLO with a bunch of leaders, and out of 35, only 31 knew ECHO existed. So I see it as such an opportunity to share our message and have people learn about us and possibly support what we do.
Thank you. Want to remind you that this has been Central Coast Voices, and I'm glad you've been with us today on the program. Next week, Chris Kington Barker will be here. She's going to look at an interesting aspect of our population, and that is that as Californians, baby boomers like me, age, we're redefining what we want to do, and a lot of us are finding ways or attempting to find ways as seniors to stay in our homes. And to, if you will, age independently and in place. And she's going to talk with folks from SLO Village next week about how that program works. And be sure to be with her next week. As I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, this is Central Coast Voices, which is a production of Action for Healthy Communities, a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County, along with KCBX. You can see our report at action.slo.org, which is vital signs looking at the status of San Luis Obispo County. You can also reach us at voices@kcbx.org or 805-543-2323. Thank you to my guests today, Wendy Lewis and Becky Gray. You have a good day. And for the homeless people in our community, I hope you're thinking about what maybe you can do to support those people, because they are around us every day. And from what my guests have shown us today, they need our help and support. Thank you for listening to Central Coast Voices.